in Isaiah chapter 40, if you will, please. We have been studying about this prophecy. Isaiah, a great prophet of God, warning Israel about what was coming. They disobeyed God. They turned their back on God. And like the northern kingdom was taken into captivity by the Assyrians, the southern kingdom is going to be taken into captivity by the Babylonians. But in the book of Isaiah, 66 chapters, it's almost just like the Bible's laid out. And the first 39 deal with the judgment and and all of Israel and going into captivity. And then beginning at chapter 40, there is the wonderful prophecy about the blessed coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and about God's mercy and grace extended. And I'm glad that although we disobey God and we sin, God still has mercy and grace on us, and He still extends that grace to us. And so when you come to chapter 40, there are some people who if you study in Bible colleges and all, there's a question raised about whether or not the same writer wrote chapter 40 and following as the first part of Isaiah. And some people talk about two Isaiahs. They talk about two different men who wrote different parts of the Bible. I don't think that's the case at all. I think it's just the message in the second part of the book is a message of hope and promise of what God's going to do. Now, be assured, the wages of sin is death. God does judge sin. But God made a provision for our sin. He knew we couldn't save ourselves, and He sent the Lord Jesus Christ. And don't ever forget, God hates sin, but He does love sinners. He's a friend of sinners, and He loves you. He loves you in the radio audience. He loves you here. Those of you who have rebelled against God and you don't know Him as your personal Savior, I want you to know He hates your sin, but He loves you. Now look in this Isaiah chapter 40. I'm going to read the whole verse for the sake of time, but I don't believe I could spend better time than reading. And you follow with me in Isaiah chapter 40, 31 verses. And I will probably bring four messages, maybe five, from this one chapter. I'm going to get bogged down. I'm telling you right now, I'm going to get bogged down in Isaiah chapter 40. Already got things working in my heart. But here's the wonderful message. Now listen, the nation's going into captivity. And here's a promise and prophecies about the outcome and what God's going to do as a result of that. Notice in chapter 40, beginning with verse number 1. Comfort ye my people, saith your God. Speak ye comfortably to Jerusalem and cry unto her that her warfare is accomplished, that her iniquity is pardoned, for she hath received of the Lord's hand double for all her sins. The voice of him that crieth in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be exalted, and every mountain and hill shall be made low, and the crooked shall be made straight, and the rough places plain. And the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together, for the mouth of the Lord hath spoken it. The voice said, cry. And he said, what shall I cry? All flesh is grass, and all the goodness thereof is as the flower of the field. The grass withereth, and the flower fadeth, because the Spirit of the Lord bloweth upon it. Surely the people is grass. The grass withereth, and the flower fadeth, but the word of our God shall stand forever. O Zion that bringest good tidings, get thee up into the high mountain. O Jerusalem that bringest good tidings, lift up your voice with strength. Lift it up. Be not afraid. Say unto the cities of Judah, behold your God. Behold, the Lord will come with strong hand, and his arm shall rule for him. Behold, his reward is with him, and his work before him. He shall feed his flock like a shepherd. He shall gather the lambs with his arms and carry them in his bosom, and shall gently lead those that are with young. Who hath measured the waters in the hollow of his hand, or meted out the heaven with a span, or comprehended the dust of the earth in a measure, or weighed the mountains in scales and the hills in a balance? Who hath directed the Spirit of the Lord, or being his counselor, hath taught him? With whom took he counsel, and who instructed him and taught him in the path of judgment and taught him knowledge and showed him the way of understanding? Behold, the nations are as a drop in a bucket and are counted as a small dust in the balance. Behold, he taketh up the islands as a very little thing, and Lebanon is not sufficient to burn, nor the beasts thereof sufficient for a burnt offering. All nations before him are as nothing, and they are counted to him less than nothing and vanity. To whom will ye liken God? Or what likeness will you compare unto him? The workman meldeth a graven image, and the goldsmith spreadeth it over with gold, and casteth silver chains. He that is so impoverished that he hath no oblation chooseth a tree that will not rot. And he seeketh unto him a cunning workman to prepare a graven image, that it shall not be moved. Have ye not known? Have ye not heard? Hath ye not been told you from the beginning? Have ye not understood from the foundation of the earth? It is he that sitteth upon the circle of the earth, and the inhabitants thereof are as grasshoppers, that stretch out the heavens as a curtain, and spreadeth them out as a tent to dwell in, that bringeth the princes to nothing, and he maketh the judges of the earth as vanity. Yea, they shall not be planted, yea, they shall not be sown, yea, their stock shall not take root in the earth. And he shall blow upon them, and they shall wither, and the whirlwind shall take them away as stubble. To whom then will ye liken me, or shall I be equaled? Saith the Holy One. Lift up your eyes on high, and behold, who hath created these things, that bringeth out their host by number. He calleth them all by names, by the greatness of his might. For he that is strong in power, not one faileth. Why sayest thou, O Jacob, and speaketh, O Israel, my way is hid from the Lord, and my judgment is passed over from my God? Hast thou not known, hast thou not heard, that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary, neither is there searching to his understanding? He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might he increaseth strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. Hallelujah. Let's bow together. Heavenly Father, I pray now the Holy Ghost of God to give that anointing that will make the difference. God, there's no good thing in me. And apart from the work of the Holy Ghost of God, nothing of eternal consequence will take place. Dear Lord Jesus, breathe on me, quicken me. I pray, God, for your anointing. Thank you for the wonderful singing of the choir and the youth choir. And God, I thank you for the solos this morning. And I'm glad that you're still God, no matter what. And God, I pray, God, the Holy Ghost now speak to our hearts, and we'll thank you and praise you and give you glory in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to share with you just a few minutes something from the first 11 verses of this passage of Scripture. Keep in mind, Israel has already been judged by God, and they're going to be going into captivity. 70 years they'll stay there in captivity. 70 years they'll have no homeland. 70 years they'll not have a free day. 70 years they'll not be able to go and do like they want to. 70 years they'll be in total bondage and heartsick and longing for home. But the prophet comes and he said, "Comfort ye, comfort ye." There's a message. There's going to be hope. God's going to do something. And this passage of Scripture, notice the word comfort. There is the comfort of the gospel, and there's a God of comfort in this passage of Scripture. I want to share with you just a few things about that little phrase there to begin with, comfort ye, comfort ye, as we begin this morning. I want to remind you, first of all, that the word comfort is used quite a few places in the Bible. It means to sustain or to hold up. It means to be encouraged. In fact, the God is said to be the God of all comfort. And that means whatever it is that makes you uncomfortable, whatever it is that troubles you, whatever it is that hurts you, he's a God who's got the answer for it. Now, the devil will try to tell you he's got the answer. He'll try to tell you it's money, it's entertainment, it's pleasure, but he's a liar. He always leaves all of his subjects in bondage. He always leaves all of his subjects beaten and bruised and battered like the Samaritan that was beat, or like the man traveling down from Jericho, beat and in the ditch. He always leaves you half dead, and ultimately he wants you in hell. But God's not that way. For everything that bothers you, for every sin, for every heartache, he is the God of all comfort. You say, "Brother Billy, you don't know what I've been through." I don't, but he does. Did you understand the passage of Scripture I just read to you? He fashioned the stars, and he knows every one of them. He calls every one of them by name. He created everything, and he's got everything still in power. You can't hide from him. He said he's even measured the dust. Now, I'm going to tell you something. I don't know how it is around your house, but around my house, we have dust. And I wonder where it comes from. We'll go through and wipe it down. You go back the next day, and there it is. But you know what? God knows every speck of dust in your house and in all this world. That's what he just said. He said he knows all, not only the stars, but every little speck of dust. He knows that. Now, how are you going to hide from a God like that? How are you going to do? How are you going to get away from him? You can't get away from him. Every person in the sound of my voice, I have to stand before God one of these days. But the thing about this, having known everything about us and all of our weakness and all our sin, he's the God of all comfort. Whatever it is that's need in our life, he can meet that need. The Bible said the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ was shed to take care of all of your sin, everything, every sin that you've ever committed. And the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. He's called the God of all comfort. But then the Lord Jesus Christ himself, his ministry in Isaiah 61 was he came to minister comfort. He came to give comfort to those. He's identified and is to comfort them that mourn. He came to do that. Jesus is a comfort himself. God the Father who created everything and God the Son who came to suffer and bleed and die for you. He came to comfort you. And listen, and so often when I do a funeral and other people do a funeral, we use that wonderful passage in Isaiah in John chapter 14. The Lord Jesus Christ had already predicted his own death. Already told his disciples he was going to die. And they were heartsick. They were beginning to be fearful and to mourn even before he died. But here's what he said, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I'll come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also." Jesus is a God of comfort. He wants to minister comfort to your heart, not only in the loss of a loved one and everything else, but over the brokenness of your life. He can speak peace to you. And the trouble that's in your heart, he can speak peace and he can comfort you. But then not only God the Father is called the God of all comfort, and Jesus Christ came to comfort those that mourn, but the Bible identifies the Holy Spirit himself in John chapter 14 and 15 and 16. He identifies him as the comforter. He is the comforter. He's the one who came to sustain the paracletos. He's the one who came to stay alongside of you. And when everybody else leaves you, when mom and dad leaves you and husband leaves wife and wife leaves husband and abandons children, there's somebody who's there that can help. And it's the Holy Spirit of God. He's the one who came to be right along beside you. And in your deepest, darkest hour, know this. He said, "I'll never leave you nor forsake you." The Holy Spirit is a great comforter, great comforter. I want you to look in this passage of Scripture. Now, I want us to just look at a few of these verses this morning. As I consider for a few minutes and we talk about the gospel of comfort. He comes with this message for people that are under the judgment of God. Notice, first of all, the people that are addressed. "Comfort ye my people. Comfort ye my people, saith your God." Now, here's the thing about it. We're living in very troubled times. And everybody is not his people. He's not everybody's God. Brother Sammy mentioned this morning about in the opening assembly about people have so many different ways they think they can get to heaven. But the only way to go to heaven is through the Lord Jesus Christ. And in order to become God's child, you have to be born into his family. We heard about babies being born this morning. And they were born into a family with a name. And when you get born again, you become a child of the King. We are sons of God when we get born again. And so the comfort of this message is just for those who know the Lord. The Bible said there's no peace for the wicked. They're like the storm, like the sea that's ever tossed by storm. There's no rest. There's no peace for those who are lost, those separated from God. They're going from one thing to another, never finding peace, never finding joy. And the tragedy of that is in hell, they'll be tormented day and night forever. No rest in hell. Can you imagine that? I had a friend down in Florida, and we got talking about the millennial reign of Christ. It's a time of blessing and rest and refreshing. He said, "Man, I can't hardly wait for that millennial reign." I said, "Why is that?" He said, "I'm not wanting to die." He said, "But I'm tired. I'm wanting to rest somewhere along the line." And for 1,000 years of rest and joy and peace, wouldn't that be something? But listen, for those who don't know the Lord, not only can I not find any joy or peace, real joy or real peace here, but when they die, they'll be eternally in torment forever. This message of comfort is only for those who belong to Him, only for His people, only for those who know God. Trust the Lord. We had one of our young boys got saved Vacation Bible School. And boy, he surprised me. One night, Randy talked about the Book of Life. And he came to me afterwards and he said, "Preacher, I want to be baptized." And I had talked with his grandmother a little bit earlier that week. She said he'd already trusted Christ. And I looked at him. I said, "Well, you know, baptism is just for saved people, just for people who know the Lord Jesus Christ." And he said, "You know what?" He said, "I'm very confident that my name's in that book." Hallelujah. Boy, that's something from a young person. I know my name is written in that book. I know it's my God. If you know it's your God, that means that regardless of what's going on, even in the land of Babylon, if you're under the judgment of God and you've seen and everything, you've lost everything, when you know that He's your God, you can trust what He says. Comfort ye, comfort ye. And notice not only the people that are addressed here, but notice the peace that is accomplished. Notice what it said in this passage of Scripture. "Speak ye comfort to Jerusalem and cry unto him that their warfare is accomplished." Boy, there's a battle going on inside of you. But when you come to know Jesus Christ and you raise that white flag of surrender and trust Him, the war is over with. That particular war is over with. And the battle of peace has been declared. And God said, "You've been alienated from me. You've been disobedient to me. But I want you to know that it's over with now. I've judged you. I did what I wanted to do. And there's peace." You can be reconciled to God. There's a peace with God. And there's the peace of God. My dear friend, you can have that peace with God through the Lord Jesus Christ. And that battle's over with. And you'll know for sure that you're saved and heaven's your home. Notice not only that peace that is accomplished, but notice the pardon that they announce here. Notice what it says. He says, not only is the war accomplished, but he said this. He said that your iniquities are pardoned. Well, what a blessing. Wouldn't it be good to know that everything you've ever done, every sin you've ever committed, is paid for? It's done. It's over with. That it's gone forever. Forever gone. In this passage I just read to you, he talks about those who try to worship idols of silver and gold. He said, if a man doesn't have any silver or gold, goes out and gets him a good solid piece of heart oak or something, has somebody to fashion a idol out of that. But he said, don't you understand that all the cedars of Lebanon, that's what he's talking about, if you had all of those trees and all the oxen, that wouldn't be sufficient to offer burnt sacrifice to take away your sin. But yet the Lord Jesus Christ bore all your sins in His own body on the tree. And He paid that sin debt, and that your sins can be pardoned, gone forever. God promises that to Israel. And if you'll read the context, and I'll point that out to you in just a few minutes, He's looking far beyond what He's going to do in delivering them out of bondage. He's looking to me and you. And He's looking for our pardon. And He talks about the coming of John the Baptist in this passage of Scripture. And he talks about the Lord Jesus Christ bearing our sins. And the pardon is accomplished through Him. It's not me. It's not what you do. But it's what He's done. And He said the pardon is there. And pardon's open to everybody. Pardon is available to anybody who will call upon the name of the Lord. But then notice what he said here about the payment. He said this, "She hath received of the Lord's hand double for her sins." Her sin has been received double for her sin. Now, I've read through that passage. I've tried to study behind some other men. And why would God doubly punish their sin? They go into captivity. The northern kingdom goes into captivity. The southern kingdom goes into captivity. Stay there 70 years. 70 years. And yet he said they've double punished for their sin. Well, I the only thing I came up with was this. They have rebelled against God. And they are spending that time of chastening in bondage. But there's another time coming that their sins will be atoned for. And that's the ultimate. That's when Christ died. Christ died for our sin on the cross. And we're paid in full. And my dear friend, Christ is the one who paid that sin debt. you and I didn't have to pay for our own sin. He paid for His own sin, for our sin. All our sin was in Him, and it was placed on Him. And what a blessing it was. Now, look with me quickly. As you go on through this passage of Scripture, so many wonderful things. The preparation of that gospel of comfort that's coming. In verse number 3, He talks about preparing the way. The highway has to be prepared. And if you read through there, what they did, if a king was coming through a particular area, they'd send a crew ahead, and they would go through, and they'd build up highway. They didn't have many roads in those days. And they'd go through. If there was a low place, they'd fill it in. If there's a high place, they'd cut it down. They'd move out the briars and the brambles and everything, and they'd make him a highway. They'd prepare a path for him to come through, and he'd travel through. And he said, that's what's going to happen. And it says here, prepare the way. John the Baptist was the voice of one crying in the wilderness, preparing the way for the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. The highway had to be prepared. But not only did the highway have to be prepared, look at verse number 5. And he says, And the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together. Listen, not only was the highway prepared, but the people were prepared to see the glory of the Lord. And God prepares circumstance, you know. He gets everything just right, but then He begins to work on our hearts. And not only that the heathen, not only the heart, He said, they'll see it there and they'll be prepared. But look in verse 6, He says this, and He said this, the voice said, cry, and said, what shall I say? All flesh is grass, and all the goodness thereof is flower of the field. The grass withereth, and the flower fadeth, because the Spirit of the Lord bloweth upon it. Surely the people is grass, and the grass withereth, and the flower fadeth, but the word of the Lord shall stand forever. You see, before God can ever do anything to you, He's got to bring you to that place of brokenness. The way is prepared and the heathen's prepared. Their heart is prepared. God breathed on them and they withered. They were full of pride and arrogance, but God broke them down. There's a fellow praying in the temple one day that's a picture of that. And here's what he did. The Bible said he wouldn't even lift his eyes toward heaven. He looked down and he smote himself on his breast and he said, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. You know what? What happens when that happens? What happens when you trust the Lord Jesus Christ? Turn over quickly. I'm through. Our time's all gone. But look at verse 11. I'm talking about the gospel of comfort this morning. He's a God of comfort. The Holy Ghost, He wants to minister to your heart. Everybody's going to have those times. And you need that. You need God to do something for you. And what does He do? What does He do when you respond to Him and you come to Him? Notice what it says. He shall feed His flock like a shepherd. He shall gather the lambs with His arm and carry them in His bosom and shall gently lead those that are with young. There are three things He said He'll do. If you hear the message of comfort, if you respond to Him, and He said, first of all, He'll feed them like a shepherd. He'll give them exactly what they have to have. God has something for you. God can satisfy that longing of your soul. He'll supply what you need. But then He said this, He'll carry them. Lift them up and carry them. He'll sustain you. God, He says that when you come to Christ, you say, Brother Bill, I couldn't live the life. I can't live the life of being a Christian. Nobody can. But He says this, I'll carry you. You remember the story in the Bible when He says the good shepherd goes out and looks for the sheep until he finds it? And when he finds it, lays it on his shoulders and he carries it home. And when you come to know the Lord Jesus Christ, that's exactly what happens. When you trust Him as your Savior, He carries you. You don't have to carry Him. He'll carry you. But then notice the next thing. He said He'll lead them, guide them. And God's going to take care of you. You say, Brother Billy, I don't know how to live the life. I don't either. But I follow Him day by day. And you know where He's going to take you to? You know where He's going to lead you to? He's going to lead you to the house of God. He's going to lead you to people that will love you and be there for you and stand with you. But ultimately, He's going to lead us to the fold. He's going to lead us to heaven. And He said, there's one fold. I got many sheep. And He said, I'm going to put them in that one fold. But they all come through Christ and they end up in a place called heaven. The good shepherd. He's going to lead His sheep. Would you bow your heads in prayer this morning? Dear Holy Ghost of God, I want to thank You for Your presence. And God, I ask that You do what I cannot do. Lord, we're all as flower and as grass. The wind of the Holy Ghost blows on us and we wither. But the Word of God shall stand forever. And God, I pray this morning for the Holy Ghost of God to move on the hearts of men, women, boys, and girls. Help them to see where they are. And God, they have troubled hearts and no peace and no rest. But God, I pray they'll find the word of comfort from you this morning. I pray they'd hear you say, "Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, I'll give you rest." I pray, God, they'll rest from their own labor and trust the work of Christ and receive that accomplishment of pardon. God, that they'll receive what you've done for them. And I pray, God, this morning that, God, that they'd know the joy of having a good shepherd who will feed them and carry them and lead them. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. Lord, you said that all those who come to you, you'd no wise cast out. God, I pray this morning that God's son would come, that you'd move on the hearts of men, women, boys, and girls.